This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
But all I heard was you guys, you were either going da 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 or ba 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 ba, but you were kind of in the beginnings of a song. So I didn't know what the tune was.
And Do you know what it was? It was the only one. I was so pleased when I saw you were going to run past because it was the only one that you knew. It was Don't Rain on My Parade.
It was.
But you're right. There's a bit at the beginning when the basses and tenors are going ba ba da ba ba da ba. And I think that must have been what was going on when you ran past, which is not very distinctive.
No, it's not.
No,
it's not. So sing me a little bit of the song so I know what
Do you want me to show you the choreography? I'm really sorry because this is not very good for the listener.
Not radio friendly.
No, not radio friendly, but we have to go. So we go, don't tell me not to live to sin. Nice candy and the sun's a ball of butter. There's no actions for that bit. Don't bring around, and it's also much higher than this. Don't bring around a cloud to rain on my parade. Did you see us do that?
Yeah, no, I didn't. I didn't see it at all. I would have loved to have seen that.
Oh, that was a big sort of swoop you do for the rain on my parade, which is classic. Nice. And then at the end, we go, my parade, like this. So we do arms up in the air, and we do a sort of pulse to my parade, like that. Really lovely. It was, we were okay. We managed to survive, but Doug was not. He said he was stood quite near a bin. Because it was, we were right opposite the gel station. He said that he nearly got smacked with a few different gel packets on occasion. And he said an old woman who was standing right by the bin got a big old splat of a gel packet on.
Welcome to episode 188 of the Women's Running Podcast. I'm your host, Esther Newman, and she's your other host, Holly Taylor. On this podcast, we talk about health, politics, stuff on TV, and what we ate last night. Occasionally, we talk about running. It's the day after the Bath Half, and I want to talk you through it. First, we have a chat about vlogging or not during a race. I'm not very good at doing this and decided against it during this one. Sorry about that. So I ran it and have many thoughts. And Hol wasn't running it, but was instead singing with her choir on the route to raise the runner's spirits. And in this, she's hooked. Who loves volunteering as much as running the thing? And keep on listening to the end, as we've also got a brilliant competition for you all. It's a total Pod Squad exclusive to win one pair of entries for you and a friend to run the Threshold Endure 24 in Reading on the 8th and 9th of June this year. There are up to 12 places available, so with 6 winners, you can all enter as one big team and run to represent the Pod Squad. Super cool. Endure 24 is the UK's biggest 24-hour trail race and is an incredibly fun run that feels more like a festival than a race. You run it by taking part in 8K loops through stunning scenery, and you can do as many or as few of them as you would like as part of the Pod Squad team. Go to womensrunning.co.uk/endure24 for your chance to win a place. Good luck. Now, if you don't already subscribe to Women's Running magazine, we've got a Pod Squad offer for you lovely people. Hop along to womensrunning.co.uk/podsquad and you'll be able to get your mitts on Women's Running for just £3.50 an issue, saving 42% off the cover price. The subscription is totally risk-free and flexible. You don't need to sign up for years and years, so it's the perfect way to get loads more Women's Running fun times for pennies.
This episode is sponsored by Didrikson's, and I know a certain someone who'll be pretty chuffed to hear that.
Me! I am a huge fan of a Didrikson's coat. I wear mine all the time, and it's both super practical and incredibly chic.
I have been eyeing up your Didrikson's number, I have to confess.
Well, you'll have to get your own, I'm afraid. This one's mine.
And I got no excuse to go and get my own, really, because Didrikson's are offering the Pod Squad 20% off. That's 20% off. How blooming generous. With the code RUN24 right now.
That is incredible news. Founder Hannah Didrikson literally created these jackets to protect fishermen from the harsh weather on the North Sea.
Well, if it's good enough for Swedish fishermen, it's good enough for me. Over 100 years later, Didrikson's are still creating durable, waterproof and breathable jackets that inspire people to get outdoors and that really do stand the test of time.
Exactly. And their Sally Pyle fleece jacket even won our Best in Test Award for post-race recovery gear, so you know it's got to be good.
So don't miss your chance to snap up one of these gorgeous coats and get 20% off with the code RUN24 before 7th of April. I'm off to do some online shopping as we speak. See you outside. There's so much to say.
So much to talk about. I know, there is so much to say. But I wanted to talk, you know, the thing you're saying about how it's so exhausting thinking, oh, you've got to run a race, but you've also got to record the fact that you're running a race in some way, like even if it's taking a selfie at the start or taking a da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
And that's a thing. I think it's a whole podcast in itself, just that one theme. Like, you know, did I tell you about going when I was in Barcelona and I was doing that half and there was that lovely chap from Run Testers there and he was talking, he had a selfie stick and a GoPro and he's a fast runner and he was saying that he didn't actually video that much of it because he was getting side eye from the fast runners that he, you know, so in his pen no one had GoPros. The GoPro ones, GoPro people were kind of doing the 2-hour marathons. And it's like, oh, okay. So, but that makes it very tricky, doesn't it? Because obviously there are content deliverers of all manner of runners. And
exactly. Well, we were just talking for the listener off pod, and then we decided we needed to record this because it's, well, I think it's a thing. Because spoiler alert, we'll talk about Bath Half in a minute, but I think I would love to. And when you see on like Running Channel or on influencers that you follow when they've like vlogged a whole race, I've always wanted to do that because it would be so much fun, but also I think it's really useful for other people when they're like if they want to do research for an event or something. Or just want to have a little cry because usually they're really emotional, those videos. But we were just basically saying that, like, if you're partway through a long run, I don't understand how people have the stamina to still be like getting a GoPro out and holding it out in front of them or a phone and holding it out in front of them, 10, 12, 15 miles into a race. Because when you're like, even sometimes when I'm like 5 or 6 miles into a run, the idea of putting my hand in my pocket and getting my phone out, it's like, oh God. Or like when those kids in a race are trying to give you a high five, the idea of like weaving over to them and giving that, I'm like, absolutely not am I expending that energy unnecessarily, I'm afraid. So
no, I was, yeah, absolutely. No. Yesterday I was just staring small children down while they were holding up their go faster buttons. I was like, no, I can't be doing it.
Sorry. I virtually press it, but yeah.
Yeah, no, I honestly don't know how people do it. And one of the reasons I wanted to kind of like drag that into like the pod, because we were off pod talking about it, was because yesterday when I did the bath half, I did nothing because I realized I it wasn't a gifted place, because often we are really fortunate that we're kind of given race places, which mm-hmm. is really lovely. This was not gifted. I was raising money for my kids' school. So it was quite a personal, you know, it wasn't to do with women's running specifically. It was to do with
you weren't there school, on women's running duties. Yeah.
No, exactly. And so I suddenly made that realization while I was in the Runners Village, and I was taking a picture of the terrible muddy kind of ground to send to Dave to go, you know, because he was bringing the kids down. I was like, bring wellies. It's awful. You won't be able to get chips, you know, mm-hmm. this kind of thing. And as I was sending that, I thought, I don't actually need to take any more pictures than that. And so I didn't. So I took no more pictures.
No,
the
I
only
don't
picture
think
I've got of the day
need to,
is
always.
The mud.
Yeah, which will be your lasting memory. I think I feel the same. I think that often I feel, and I do really enjoy it. Like when we've done little Instagram reels or taken pictures along the way doing races, I do get an extra little kick out of it because it's fun to be like, oh, and I'm also documenting this. It's also really good to hold yourself accountable if it's just like a normal run. If I'm like, oh, it'd be good to get some content up on the Instagram though, then it gets me out of bed because I'm like, come on, you better actually do the run. You can't really fake it on Instagram. Mm. So I do find it useful there, but it is just the idea sometimes of doing it, even when we have been fortunate enough to have like a gifted place or something, I'm like, oh, it's just an extra job and it's hard work trying to think of stuff to film and take pictures of and be on to camera when you're really tired, like, you know, 11 miles deep tired. Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think, and I do, I completely understand that this comes from a position of like,
oh, huge we're basically privilege.
Saying, huge, it was like, oh, my diamond shoes are pinching. It's I do understand that, but it is really, there is a point at which when you're halfway through a race or something, you think, oh, fucking hell, I've got to actually record my actual pain now.
I know.
Try and look as though I'm, this is great, loving every step, you know, going, I just want to be at home.
Well, speaking of, shall we discuss, I think, you know, we're 5 minutes in and we haven't addressed the elephant in the room. I mean, it's not, not to undermine this at all, but I do appreciate that for you, it's probably not the most exciting thing in the world because it's your third half marathon in about 3 weeks. But how was yesterday?
Well, and I want to ask the same question back to you because so excited to find out about what you were doing. do you know what? I think it was my fifth Bath half marathon. So it was interesting from that perspective, and it is interesting to run old ground and to think of myself I think I was 30 when I first did it. I think I was. I might have been 29, but I think I was 30. So that was 20 years ago that I did it for the first time. So I feel that vintage.
That's
Esther
pretty great.
Then. I know.
Yeah, Esther, 20 year ago vintage. Special rare one.
And it is, it's so interesting to think back to that because of, you know, I can think back to how I trained. I can think back to what the course felt like. I remember all of it. I remember that first one so vividly. And I remember how sort of badly I trained in some respects, but, you know, effectively I did it. And I remember not stopping. And I certainly did. I didn't drink any water. I remember that I carried no water and I drank no water. No, I don't remember there ever being water stations on the course then.
Oh God! This is not trying to be a patronizing question. Were hydration vests a thing at the time?
I have no idea because I wasn't really in the running world. I was. I don't know. I can't remember seeing people wearing them, but that doesn't mean that they didn't.
Okay.
But it's interesting, isn't it? When you run a marathon, you do see, actually, no, I reckon it's probably about the same, actually. There is a split between people that do and people that don't. You know, people that rely on water stations. Oh my God, I was so pleased I wasn't relying on a water station. I am really going to hammer home. Oh my God. There were way more than when we ran it. You know, when there wasn't enough when we ran it
enough when we ran it 18 months ago. There was, they tried to do something clever where they had done it so that like their water station was on the loop. But it was actually so that they obviously didn't have to have multiple. They just had, had past the same water station twice. But it was, I have to say, it was not a strategically good place. It might have been where we passed it twice, but it meant that I think you had your last sort of sip of water at about mile 8 or something. And then you still had over 5 miles to go with absolutely no aid. And I remember a kind family at about mile 11 or 12 giving water out of their garden because there were so many people who were going... And it was also, it was warmer than we expected, which was also yesterday.
It was
toasty too, wasn't it?
Yeah. They definitely have way more hydration stations. I couldn't tell you exactly how many because I avoid them. But there was definitely more.
There was one right at the end this year, actually, as well, I noticed. Towards the finish, people were handing water out.
It was really, really good. But I think... And it's fine for people that are just, you know, they just want a quick glug and off they pop. But they're doing their level best, the Bath Half, to kind of reduce environmental impact. So it was paper cups. But even though paper cups were being held out in quite small amounts, what they were holding out was massive jugs so you could fill up your water bottle as you were running past. And people were just sort of going, well, that doesn't, you know, it's very tricky. You can't. Unlike, you know, if you're not used to it with in old races where you would have plastic bottles littering everywhere, you would grab a bottle and run off with it. You know, you wouldn't stop.
You haven't really got time to stop, even as a slow plodder, I wouldn't want to stop and let my legs seize up enough to fill up a bottle of water.
Yeah. So there is still some work to be done on how to make that a bit more efficient, I think, and kind of work better for runners and stuff. But yeah, it was...
I've got a tiny bit to slag off here. This is obviously not personal. This is secondhand knowledge because it's obviously not direct from the horse's mouth. Lex told me this. But she said that by the time she got to one of the water stations, there were no paper cups left, so they were like pouring them into people's hands and people were having to be like...
Oh, that's not great, is it?
That's not ideal, is it?
No. Yeah.
I think
How did Lex do?
So Lex was really pleased. It was weird because race tracking is such a weird thing, isn't it? It looked like she was really struggling by about mile 10 because her split suddenly having been like really consistent went boing up really high. And I was like, oh, bless her, something happened. It turned out she was like, she did have 1 mile that was a bit slower because she walked for a little bit because her knees were really, really painful. But so she didn't have a stress-free experience. But the rest of it, she was fine and she was flying again. Whereas her tracker didn't really pick that up. It was like, it still kept her sort of average pace as like quite low. So, I thought that she'd had a really tough last 3 miles, and it turned out she'd had one tough mile at about mile 10, and then she'd been absolutely fine for the end. She just needed to sort of dig deep and go, right, let's do this. But she was really pleased. She I think she was really happy with her time.
That was good.
And she had an enjoyable experience apart from that little middle bit,
the water.
Apart from the water, I think that Lex, my suspicion about why her knees are hurting, I'm going to try and find her some shoes because I'm sorry if she's listening and I'm slagging her off too much for this, maybe she's changed them once, but I'm pretty sure that she's had the same pair of trainers and she's run four half marathon races, 7 halves when it comes to like training for other stuff and things. So I think she definitely needs a new pair of shoes. But that's the other thing that like we're so used to working in an industry that we've talked about it before, how lucky and privileged we are that we have access to lots of kit, and that lots of our runner friends are quite serious runners, or at least people who would spend a bit more money on their running. Whereas Lex is not somebody who wants to spend a huge amount of money on her running. And
no,
it does sort of go to show, doesn't it? Because you probably wouldn't run more than a couple of races in a pair of shoes before you were like, right, I think it's time. If I've done the training and the race a couple of times in that pair, then it's time for a new pair. Whereas I don't think that she's prioritized that, because she's been like, oh, it's really bloody expensive to get another pair, it's and really these are doing expensive. The job fine. So, but I am going to try and find her a pair, because I think she deserves a new pair.
Yeah, it sounds like she does.
But she did really well, and then we went to the pub afterwards. It was so lovely.
Nice.
It's a classic, isn't it, though, going to the pub after the race, that you're so looking forward to it, and you're thinking about, oh, I'm going to have a pint of Guinness, or I'm going to have a big old roast, or you're thinking about all the very luxurious things that you would look forward to. And then she ended up slightly just nursing a pint of Coke and being like, oh God, it's never the big hurrah that you think it's going to be. You're like, two chips, you know, I'm going to go and shit myself.
Okay, so that's precisely my experience.
Okay, right, let's discuss. So Lex, good. She was really happy. I loved supporting her. And lovely. You guys were really well paced all the way through, which was really nice, because it meant that she came in to that 6 mile marker where I was about 30 seconds before you did, basically.
Oh, amazing.
Which was so nice. And then at the finish, you were a couple of minutes apart as well. So it was really nice stalking you both. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
But tell me, you looked really strong and you looked like you were doing great. You looked tired at the finish, but so you should, because it's 13 miles. How was it all?
Oh my God, that last kilometer. I'll come back to that last
The lot. Yeah, I have heard.
Fucking hell.
Lex was very, very cross about that.
That
last
was worse.
As well.
It's worse.
She
it's
said
worse
the same.
Than it was.
She said definitely it was worse than before. Because they changed the route again, for anyone who's not obsessed with the Bath Half like we are. They've changed the route again. So rather than it being that, you know, we bitched so much last year about the fact there was this steep hill to finish on, and we were both chins grazing the floor, hating our lives. Yeah. But it was literally that last 0.1. I think you hit the 13-mile marker at the bottom of the hill, and all you had to do was just do that last 0.1 up the hill.
But this is much, much worse, because you're starting from the centre of Bath, so the bowl of Bath. So Bath is surrounded by seven hills, and you start running up one of them. So from bloody Sainsbury's, you're running upwards up to Charles Street. You're all going to have to listen to me now.
Get your Google Maps out right now.
Get it out. Listen to this, right? You're going past the Apex Hotel. You're running upwards. You run up past Queen Square. Then you have to run up to that bit that I always forget. I think it's the Royal Parade. And everyone's like, oh, it's going to be great because you're finishing in front of the Royal Crescent. Couldn't give a monkey's. You are up, and it doesn't kind of, you don't surface onto the flat for ages. It's just it was horrific, and I wasn't just breathing like I was just
it looked savage. It's so long. If I do runs, because that's my route home basically, if I've done like a loop on the flat, then sort of where I end up, and it would make sense for me to run up that hill to go home. But I can't even, if I'm carrying my shopping home and just walking back, I get really exhausted and out of breath going up the hill. Cause it might not be as steep as that other hill, but it's just relentless. Like
it just goes on and on
really
and on
long. And every time you think that you're like, oh, finally I've done Queen Square. Nope. It's not getting flatter. You've still got to go all the way up the hill into the park. Then it just never ends. It's so,
it just
it's so
ended.
Tiring.
It just went on and on. And it was longer, because I think when you know, the way that it was before, you were going from the Upper Bristol Road to halfway up Marlborough Road, weren't you?
Yeah.
And this one, you're starting from further down the hill.
Yeah.
You're definitely starting further, and it just goes on and on. So it was bad. It was bad planning and everyone complained about it. And I went to see a physio this morning. The physio said, oh, how was the last kilometer? And I was like, yeah, absolutely fucking horrible.
Just a queue of people who are all in because of the last kilometer outside the physio.
Yeah, exactly. When I tap, please let me in.
I don't know what the problem was. And I mean, I'm very, very interested to find out. Is it common knowledge? And can we say that it's Bath Half has been taken over by another company?
Yes, that's public knowledge.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, public knowledge that London Marathon events have taken it over for as of next year, I think.
Yes. Yeah.
Very exciting. I wonder what they're going to do, because I don't know why it always used to be that the rec ground, which is like the rugby ground in Bath, was where the runner's village would be. And then you started and finished on Pulteney Street. Perfect. It's still a bit of an iconic Bath location, but it's dead flat and you barely had to do any running uphill. There's a little bit of an uphill to the kind of bottom of Bathwick Hill, I guess, isn't there? But other than that, you barely had to do any. It was gently undulating. Whereas they've decided recently that they love this idea of it all being based in Victoria Park and the Crescent and stuff. I get it. Very symbolic of Bath. But no one who lives in Bath would fucking go anywhere near any of that area for a run. It's the worst. it sucks. The worst. I don't know why they've decided that that's where it's all going to be based. And that's where they've moved the runner's village, and that's where it starts and finishes now. So I imagine that your knees are bloody shot at the beginning because you've got to run down Marlborough Lane.
it was really, really weird. I think without getting into it too much, I think it was maybe a council barney that shifted it, potentially.
Maybe it was more complicated, some of the road closures that they had to do, because I guess it was very like town central.
I don't know.
Who bloody knows?
Who bloody knows? Right. Yeah. But anyway, race report. Give me a race report. So,
sorry if I'm extremely manic, by the way. I will
try and
calm down. I've had two coffees today and I honestly feel slightly high. So,
okay. Okay. Rain it in. Yes. I shall continue. So, it was a lovely, unseasonably warm day. It wasn't. I'm not going to go into that. Do you know what was really, really bloody lovely was, as I was walking to the runner's village, was like, isn't it nice to be able to walk to a runner's village rather than get in the hotel the night before?
Yeah.
The palaver. It's like, I'd forgotten what a dream that is.
Yeah.
An absolute dream. So that was
I was
really
saying
nice.
That to Doug as well, because he had a little bit of a, first time I've ever seen him do this, he was quite emotional watching it all. And he had a little moment of, I would quite like a bit of that. Like, I'd quite like to do it once.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think he then later regretted saying that, but I was like, you're really fortunate, like, if you were to do it, like, you have no idea, like, we're so lucky to have a well-attended, well-supported, pretty well-organized big half marathon our doorstep. Like, you should make the bloody most of it.
Really, really lovely. And I think it's kind of I think, you know, and it's great for kind of close surrounding areas and stuff like that. And it's so much better supported than it has been. Like, they're really, really good at making sure that there are points out kind of as you go to the sort of less populated areas, that they make sure that there's bands there and there's lots of noise and stuff. So it's really, really lovely. And there's silence when you need silence. And it's kind of, so it's really lovely. But it was, spoiler alert, it's a fucking hard slog is what it is. And it's weird, Bath Half, because you kind of think that if you're going to be running a half marathon in Bath, that it's going to be quite a beautiful scenic thing. And it really isn't. It really isn't.
Until, apart from the start finish. Industrial, the back of an industrial building and a sort of razor wire fence.
There's a lot of that because I can see why, and it's tricky. They've just tried to keep it as flat as possible, and this is what they're doing. And particularly because it's just a few weeks out from London. It's like 7 weeks out from London, so it's a good like point at which to do a half race before you do London, if that's what you're planning on doing. So they need to try and keep it as flat as possible. But this is how you can do it, unfortunately, which is a boring two loop on A roads kind of run. But, you know, it's kind of, it's all right. So Runner's Village was all right. It was really muddy. They should have put duck boards down. They hadn't, but it was fine. So muddy. So muddy. It was like, oh, come on, guys. I mean, I just don't think that takes that much. We had that in actually the wreck, didn't we? Do you remember when we did it in COVID year?
It was pissing it down the year that we did it muddy in then. COVID as well. Yeah. And it was really, but it was so slippy. And imagine like starting your blooming half marathon by sliding over in the mud before you've even got to the finish line. You'd be so cross.
Super unpleasant. Yeah. Super unpleasant. But it was, yeah, it was fine. It was absolutely fine. And I was there in loads of time, but I did a really stupid thing where I dropped off my bag in lots of, what I wanted, I was in the last wave. So they'd simplified it. So there were three waves rather than, I think when we did it, they also had waves within waves. So I think it was like orange one, orange two, orange three.
Do you remember?
There was loads of
ones. And I was getting quite anxious because I was in orange and I think I ended up standing quite near the back of orange. And I remember being like, this is really petty because as we've discussed many times on this pod, it doesn't matter if you come last. No one gives a flying fuck and it's fine.
Yeah.
But there is a little part of you that's like, oh, I really, really don't want to be looked at loads. And if I remember feeling for quite a long way, most of the way really in the bath half 2022, that I was like right at the back and it was really sparse. And I felt quite watched because I felt quite near the back.
And I remember that. And I remember us talking about it. Yeah. And I remember, I really didn't want to fit. So I was in effectively a slower wave than I was in 22. I think I was kind of in green
before. In 22. Yeah. I remember.
So I've nudged myself back a bit. And I was kind of very cautious of that. And I wanted to be towards the front of the wave if I possibly could do. So I dropped my bags and went to and was walking towards the wave start line in plenty of time until I suddenly remembered that I'd not taken my inhaler and I'd left it in my bag. And I don't even need my inhaler. I don't need my inhaler for running, nothing. But it's one of those kind of weird things where I always have a quick puff before I go for a run because I always have done. And if I don't, and I then remember 4 or 5 miles in, I immediately sort of seize up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's really stupid. So I just thought, fuck it, I've got enough time, I'll go back. So I went back and did it, but it meant that I was then like a bit later on in the wave. So I felt a bit kind of despondent about that. But it was fine. So I knew I was setting off late. So I did. Did
Lex
set off a bit
late.
Had
the same thing. She mentioned that she needed a wee. So she she was green, but ended up starting with orange. I think it was fine. I think she was happier in orange, to be honest, because she'd missed a couple of training runs and she'd found it a bit tougher than she thought she was going to. So I think she was a bit more relaxed there. She wasn't putting pressure on herself. But it does make it quite complicated then when you're tracking someone or if you're trying to work out your own time as well. Obviously, most people are like tracking themselves on a watch or something. But they were telling spectators like, oh, if your person is in green pen, take 30 minutes off the time on the big clock at the end or whatever for how long they've done it in. And it's quite, it got quite complicated by the end trying to work out how everybody had done. Yeah.
Yeah, it's tricky, isn't it? But I do think that next time, and this is controversial, I think maybe, next time that I do a half or next time I do bath half, I'm probably going to shave 10 minutes off what I know I'm going to do it in just so I can hedge myself into a different wave because I'd much rather be at the arse end of green than right in the middle of orange because when you're stuck in the middle of orange, there were some pinch points and it became a bit tricky and it's such a huge, I think orange is probably the biggest wave.
Yes. And most people were wearing orange, maybe closely followed by green. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So there just seemed to be quite a lot of it. So it was kind of, but I think the organization was better than when we did it, I think in terms of water, which was really nice. So I think that was really lovely. They had loads of volunteers, loads of kids handing out water and stuff, which was very sweet.
Yeah, lots of really volunteers. Nice. Like, I don't think I've ever really noticed people wearing bath half t-shirts before. Normally you see like charities or gel companies or whatever on the sidelines. But I saw a lot of people in like students, I guess, or like younger people in bath half official sort of stewardy t-shirts shouting into megaphones or cheering people on. it felt like they'd really gone for it on the old volunteering side, and they'd got, yeah, it was really nice. It felt like,
it did feel
from
nice.
Where I was, it felt like the support was amazing, but I guess, like you said, there are some serious stretches where there's absolutely fuck all going on, aren't there?
That's true, but I don't mind that because I listen to my book and stuff, so it's absolutely fine. But this is definitely, it's the one time I've run it where I've actually, I think it's probably the most times that I've seen people that I know on
that's
the
nice.
Route, which was really nice. So there was there were people from school who I saw.
Since
there was,
Stephen's,
you know, the St. Stephen's mum woman was there.
Was
but she'd stopped. Yeah, she'd stopped me on Friday. She said, "What is your name?" So that I can call it out rather than saying St. Stephen's mum. So that was sweet. So she said, "Well done, Esther." And she said it twice. So I was like, I saw her in the pub afterwards, and I said, "You were my best supporter."
Oh, that's really wholesome.
It was lovely. It was really nice. There were loads of kind of people. Yeah, it was just really, that was really nice.
Yeah.
But I did find it hard, and I really, really, really had to do the, you know, when you just have to kind of dial in and do it mile by mile.
Yeah.
So even right from early doors, like even from mile three, I remember thinking, just got to get myself to mile four and then I have my gel and that's fine. And then the gel will take me to mile. It didn't help that the mile five marker was not in the right place. That was too soon.
Was it? That's annoying.
So, yeah.
Lex said, so I was on, that she ended up, and I don't know what's gone wrong here because this can't be quite right, but she said that her watch said she'd done nearly 13 when she got to 11. Mm.
Oh, there must be something wrong with the watch. Unless she was doing lots of weaving.
Was like, so she found that really demoralising. But that doesn't help if the mile markers are also not in the right place, does it?
Yeah, that was the only one that wasn't. So I was definitely, everything else was pretty much spot on. But I was at 4.5 miles when it said 5.
Depressing.
And then I was at 6 when it said 6. So it just been put in the wrong place.
Oh, yeah,
all.
No
and
wonder.
Like,
then
that's
really, really difficult. Because, yeah, again, when Lex ran past at that 6 mile point, she went, Doug said that she was like, am I halfway yet? And I think psychologically, then that makes sense that if there was a really long gap before you hit 6, it was like, what the fuck is going on? Am I there? Am I halfway?
Yeah, have I missed it? Have I missed it? Yeah, exactly that.
Because he was like, this is it. And she was like, what? So,
so it was all absolutely fine. But I had this kind of weird hip glute thing that I've got going on, which I'm going to try and sort out this week. So that was kind of niggling me from kind of, I don't know, mile 7, probably like half of it, I guess. And I just found it very, very hard. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I found it harder than Barcelona, but I am beginning to think that maybe it's just the fact that I've done so many half marathons now, that and particularly because I've now done like 5 Bath halves and everything, that because the novelty isn't there, that it just seems like a real fucking slog the whole time.
Yeah.
And I have to remember that actually running 13 miles is a slog and it is hard and it will be, you know, it's not like waving and selfies and
100%.
Oh, so
and you've done some serious distances. And I think that's a bit of a phenomenon as well. Like, you know, when often when you're doing a training run, if you're really dreading it, weirdly, those tend to be the runs that end up being fine. And the ones that you're like the drop down week in a taper where you do like 5 miles or 6 miles or something for a half, say.
Yeah.
And you end up being like, oh my God, that was absolutely horrible, because you've gone into it with the mindset of like, oh, it's only 5 miles. I did 12 last week or whatever. Weirdly, because you were really anticipating the intensity of your 12, it went okay. Whereas if you're sort of slightly going, oh, I'll be fine. So I guess because you've done a lot of 13 milers recently, psychologically, maybe you're not nervous so much, and you're not having quite that same like, oh, can I do it? Oh, it's going to be really tough. I'm really dreading it, blah, blah, blah. Instead, you're going, I've got this. It's a 13 miler. And then you realize halfway through how bloody difficult that is. But
do you know, well, that's certainly true of Barcelona.
Okay.
I think I had a sort of slightly false sense of security with Barcelona. Just thinking, well, you know, I've done it loads. Blah, blah, blah. This one, all of my runs, like you were saying, including the taper, had been horrible. I'd not enjoyed any of them. Whereas in like training blocks before, there have been like the odd, like occasional every other long run,
I've come back and thought, oh, brilliant, smashed it, fine. You know, that was, yeah. You know, where's my Coke? Great, yeah. Brilliant. You know, all fine. The last sort of 4 weeks has been really, really hard for all of the running. But my taper week or taper 2 weeks ahead of this, I was going to say I took it much more seriously, but I think it's because I took it much less seriously.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really nice. I normally do 4 runs a week, and I missed a run and decided not to add it back in again in the final week. So all I had was 2 little 3-milers. And I didn't go to boot camp the day before, which was really helpful, but I did go to yoga on like the Wednesday before. So all of that meant that by yesterday morning, I was feeling absolutely fine. And I had no kind of hip or glute twinges. I felt ready for it. And so that's I think good. I did proper rest, which is good. Do you know what my Garmin told me this morning?
Well, I saw in her Instagram post that it said tempo.
Oh, it wasn't that so much. It's the fact that my Garmin, you know, Garmin just watches you like some kind of weird stalker thing.
Yeah.
This morning, I was just looking at it and I'd pressed a button. I think by mistake, you get like a morning report when you wake up,
oh, nice.
Which says, here's some stuff about you that you didn't realize because you were sleeping and we were looking at you. And this one thing.
creepy.
I know, weird, right? Mm-hmm. Very creepy. And one thing it said to me was, tonight, you need to have 20 minutes less sleep. Didn't say in brackets, you lazy fucker. But I was like, what?
Excuse me?
20 minutes less sleep. I know. That is not what I need. That's not what I need.
That's really weird. And I think...
Isn't it weird?
Like, I'd be very interested in Garmin.
I felt very judged.
Respond. Because you have 48 hours to respond. Why on earth would you say something like that? I was about to say that I feel like I've been sleeping too much recently, I think. Because you know when you feel slightly lethargic, I've been having that a little bit in the mornings because Doug's been having to get up really early for work. And for a little while, I was like, oh, maybe I'll stay up and watch an extra stupid episode or something or whatever. Mm. And then recently, for the last few weeks, I've just been like, I'll just come to bed with you because what's the point? So I've been going to bed a little bit earlier than I normally do, but still waking up around the same time. And so I've been getting sort of rather than seven, 8 hours, I've been getting more like 9 hours sleep, which is a lot of sleep. I loved it. I was going to say, if my Garmin tried to be like, stop doing that, I really, really think that it's positively impacted my training. I feel like I've got more energy when I do runs. Mm-hmm. And I'm starting to realize that like, maybe like some of those celebrities who say, oh, I have 11 hours of sleep a night or something. Maybe there really is something to it. Normally I read those and I'm like, fuck off. And before, if Doug's been like, oh, I need more sleep than that. I need more than 8 hours. I get really, really tired. I've been like, no, you're sleeping too much. And that's why you're so bloody tired. But actually, I think I'm quite into sleeping too much. So what are you on about, Garmin? And also, how are you going to prevent yourself from having that 20 minutes?
It actually said, I think it was suggesting that I'd had 7.5 hours sleep and that I should have 7 hours and 10 minutes. And I was like, yeah, that's not nice. And I couldn't understand how that was true because I'd gone to bed at 11 last night and I got up at 7:30 this morning. So I've definitely had more than, I mean, actually, no. I'll tell you what happened was I was fidgeted awake because Dave got up early because he was, so I probably did have, I might have had 7.5 actually. But it was just like, I don't need 7 hours and 10 minutes sleep. I need like 12.5 hours sleep.
Yeah.
I need lots. I need lots and lots of sleep.
I love lots, I'm discovering.
Fundamentally knackered. It's awful.
Well,
I need to be going to bed at 9.
Stuff. You do loads of exercise. And I think that that's something that we really forget to, you know how if you're training for a long distance race, then you've upped your training loads that a nutritionist will advise you normally to make sure that you're not in a calorific deficit by eating more to make up for the fact that you're doing all of this training. We don't really talk about the sleep deficit. Surely you are making yourself more physically knackered than you're used to being if you're doing all this training. And so you're going to need more rest when it comes to the night.
And I think that's right.
And I think that we need to be, I'm going to lean into this. I'm going to carry on doing my sleeping more while I'm training for this half because I think I need it. My body needs it because I'm doing lots of running that I wasn't doing before.
Yeah, I think so.
And I think you definitely are entitled to 7.5 hours sleep when you've run a fucking half marathon the day before.
I know.
And the Garmin knows that you've done that. I'm angry. I think I want them to respond to this. This is a challenge. Respond.
But okay, so enough about my experience yesterday at the Bath Half, because I did run past you, but I didn't see you. I only saw Doug.
I know. Doug said he saw you, which I was relieved about because I was worried because I was tracking you. Okay, so I was, as mentioned, singing with my choir, which I loved. Yeah. It was such a joy. Did you notice the choir?
I did notice the choir because Doug was standing just before them. But for some reason, I remembered you saying that you were going to be on a...
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Bus. Oh, so I was expecting to see you.
Maybe, I think I said we were doing a busk.
Oh, maybe that was it.
Which maybe came off like we're going to be on a bus, which confused you. And then
I got very confused.
I'm so sorry.
So I was expecting to see you quite high up and very obvious. And I wouldn't have spotted you at all had I not seen Doug. So I knew where to look because you'd sent me that picture. But I wouldn't, because you were all in black, weren't you?
Yeah.
Which made you very difficult to spot.
I know. And I was expecting to see you all in black. So I was looking for, and I was literally telling the rest of the choir to look out for a tall woman in all black. And I didn't realize you were wearing a special St. Stephen's mum t-shirt.
St. Stephen's mum t-shirt in neon yellow.
So I wasn't expecting to see you in neon yellow. But yes, yeah, so I was really gutted that I didn't see you. I don't know how I didn't.
It's because I was so fast. So
I know, because I wasn't. I thought you. Yeah, you just blurred past. I wasn't expecting you to see me specifically because you were running past. But I was really looking out for you. And when Lex ran past, and when another bloke that I know ran past, I went. Wahey! So that they could see, and I did a big wave, and I was like, oh, I'll do the same so that Esther can see me specifically. But yeah. I looked out for you for ages and I couldn't spot you, and then I looked back on the tracker and I was like, she's gone. How did I miss her?
Gone
like the wind. But you were doing very, very well. Your splits were seconds apart, so you were clearly on a mish.
But I didn't really see. I was really looking forward to listening and hearing you singing and hearing, you know, the choir and stuff. But all I heard was you guys. You were either going da 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 or ba 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 ba, but you were kind of in the beginnings of a song. So I didn't know what the tune was. And
do you know what it was? It was the only one. I was so pleased when I saw you were going to run past because it was the only one that you knew. It was "Don't Rain on My Parade."
It was.
But you're right, there's a bit at the beginning when the basses and tenors are going, are going, ba, ba, da, ba, ba, da, ba, ba, da, ba, ba, da, ba. And I think that must have been what was going on when you ran past, which is not very distinctive.
No, it's not.
No,
it's not. So sing me a little bit of the song so I know what
Do you want me to show the choreography? I'm really sorry because this is not very good for the listener.
Not radio friendly.
No, okay. Not radio friendly, but we have to go. So we go, don't tell me not to live to sin. Nice candy and the sun's a ball of butter. There's no actions for that bit. Don't bring around, and it's also much higher than this. Don't bring around a cloud to rain on my parade. Did you see us do that?
No, I didn't. I didn't see it at all. I would have loved to have seen that.
Oh, that was a big sort of swoop you do for the rain on my parade, which is classic. Nice. And then at the end, we go, my parade, like this.
So we do arms, okay, up in the, arms air, in the air, and we do a sort of pulse, yeah, to my parade like that.
That was great. I loved,
amazing,
it. But the bit that I got really emotional with was we, yeah, have you seen Hercules, the Disney Hercules film?
Yes, a long time ago.
A long time,
yes,
ago. There's a lovely film, film, lovely song in it. And Michael Bolton actually sings, you know, normally there's like the character will sing it in the Disney film, but then in the credits, there'll be like a famous singer going, let it go, let it go, doing like their own version, yes, of it,
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah.
Michael Bolton sings Go the Distance from Hercules in the credits. But yeah, Go the Distance was really emotional, and we were all actually getting quite teary singing it. Because it was like the lyrics of that one, I will find my way, I can go the distance, I'll be there someday. If I can be strong, I might be singing that wrong. I know every mile will be worth my while. I can go most anywhere, to whatever the rest of it is. So every time, yeah, we were singing that, I know every mile be worth my while bit, we got to get, yeah, really emotional watching everybody. And I felt like people were, I felt bad and guilty because people kept turning to us as the choir and clapping us and going, thank you so much. And I was like, stop it. You are the ones who are deserving clapping. It was very distracting actually, because everybody in the choir had lots of people, because it's obviously all Bath locals, lots of people had friends or family that were running that we were all looking out for. And everybody was helping each other track. So obviously I was telling everyone to look when you were coming up. I was like, tall woman, probably all wearing all black. And Lex, we were tracking as well, and a couple of the others. The girl next to me, her friend did it in 1:43.
Jesus,
I know.
Christ.
So she was she was very, very quick. It was really lovely, and it was quite an emotional experience. And we kept sort of wanting to be like, "Way!" halfway through songs, because somebody amazing, like that bloke who ran it with a washing machine on his back. Did you see him?
Oh yes, yeah.
Well, he ran past him, and we all had to stop mid-song and cheer him, because it was. So I actually felt very confident, because I thought if we can do this out in the open where it's quite hard to hear yourself and the different parts and stuff,
yeah,
and we can do it with the distraction of runners going past and looking out for your friends and family and not really paying any attention to the song because you're trying to see the man with the washing machine. I was like, we're definitely gonna nail the concert this weekend.
Oh yeah. Did you have a PA system, or was it just?
No, we were, yeah, it was a cappella. It was what do you call it? Unplugged.
That's what I was.
It was unplugged.
Yeah, unplugged.
But yeah, it was really lovely. It was, we were okay, we managed to survive, but Doug was not. He said he was stood quite near a bin, because it was, we were right opposite the gel station, he said that he nearly got smacked with a few different gel packets on occasion. And he said an old woman who was standing right by the bin got a big old splat of a gel packet on.
Oh yeah. My god.
I know.
Oh, I know where they hand those things out, but I would never have taken one. Like, no. If I hadn't practiced with
I don't really get why they do it. I guess if you're somebody has practiced with gels and like has looked at the course enough that they know that the gel station is exactly where they would take them, but like you can bring your own, so I don't get why you wouldn't just bring your own. And yes, yeah, certainly I've been once tempted when there was a gel station at like mile 11 or 12 in a half marathon, and I was so tired, and I was like, maybe this will be exactly what will get me through the last mile and a bit, is this gel. But it crossed my mind for a split second, and then I was like, you know what's more likely to happen? I will shit myself in about 0.2 miles, and it will be even more horrible.
This is it.
Yeah.
Do you know what was really weird was that they were offering them out at the finish. So when I crossed over the finish line, and I felt brilliant actually, because as you've crossed the finish line, the kind of all the runners kind of diverged into either getting t-shirts or not getting t-shirts, and I felt like I was the only one not getting a t-shirt.
They were
very strange
t-shirts this year, I'm afraid.
They were quite nice, but okay. I just...
You don't need another one. I don't need another whip, as Ness would say.
Don't need another whip. But I went round to the left where no one else was going, and they were offering the gels there. And I said no, and he gave me right side eyes, like, why on earth wouldn't you accept an SIS gel?
So I don't want a run.
After I've run a run.
Am I an idiot? Because Lex said exactly the same thing. Someone offered her a gel, and she was like, no, thank you. I would like a pint now. Like,
yeah.
Why on earth would I have that now?
And what I find very strange is that the SIS that were doing the gels and stuff, they do other nutrition products as well. What you want when you finished a race is something with protein in it. So give us a chocolate bar or something. Give us something to eat to kind of fuel ourselves back up again. Don't give us another bloody gel. We're not going to carry on.
Yeah, I've got to complain about the fact that in general the goodie bags you get after a race are, I get what it is, it's not actually a goodie bag for you. It's an opportunity for brands to get their name out there, I suppose, and to sell more of their products. But it is so shite because it's all so healthy. And you're like, I've just expended all these calories. I'm exhausted. I am gagging for a packet of crisps right now or a big pint of Coke. All the stuff you want to fill you back up, your salts and sugars and stuff afterwards, because you're needing all of that. And then you get some sort of low calorie Nature Valley crumbly bar thing or something. And the thing is, like, fuck off. I'm not having that. All the things I've ever got from the finish line of a half marathon in a goodie bag are sitting gathering dust at the back of a cupboard.
Actually, yeah, I think I've got a couple of things downstairs as well. The nicest things are the Barcelona, it was those Satsumas.
Satsuma the best. Would be lush, actually.
So nice, because obviously you're thirsty, and the idea of having that sort of sugary kind of sweetness.
That's nice.
Lush. So, but yeah, I mean, well, that sounds good, Ben. The singing.
It was great fun. I really, really loved it. And it was very sweet because the conductor our conductor, obviously there's many branches, as we've discussed, of the show choir. It's getting pretty big in the Southwest. But our normal Bath Widcombe group conductor has been off on maternity leave. And she came back to conduct a couple of the songs, and her sweet little baby was on her front in a little bear costume, and he was just like, he was so chill. He was just listening and smiling, and that was really sweet.
So
it was really lovely.
That's really nice.
Yeah, but we all decided, we were like, I mean, I'd love to do the Bath half again. I can't imagine I won't do the Bath half again at some point. But for years that I'm not doing it, in general, we were all like, we got to do this every year. This is a no-brainer. Yeah. Like, we were all so emotional. It was so much fun. People were so lovely running past that. I can't believe how kind people are bothering to even acknowledge that we're singing to them, because having been on the other side of that, you're exhausted and it's not really your top priority to listen to whatever they're singing.
It's so funny. I love it. Because I think you get that a lot from people, like kind of frequent race goers and frequent park runners.
Yeah.
So I heard people around me thanking volunteers.
Yeah.
Like, oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Like, you know, like you do at park run. Thank you, Marshall. So there was quite a lot of that going on. There was also...
We should do a podcast called Thank You, Marshall, by the way. Give me our second pod.
That's so funny. But there was one moment, one bit. I think it might have been the radio bus. And it was playing some Irish jig music, because obviously
it was Patrick's Day.
Yeah. And there was a woman runner in front of me who actually started Irish dancing as she was.
Great! That's amazing.
It was just amazing. I don't know. Bearing in mind, I didn't have the energy to hit a power up button. I don't know where she got the knee lift to do what she was doing.
Sometimes it just overtakes you, doesn't it? I love to think of the idea that the radio bus, rather than actually seeking out some specific music, I like to think that they were like, Alexa, play Irish jig music.
I'm sure they did. It was very generic. So yeah.
Classic. Oh, that's great. That's great. No, I thought it was so lovely to be on that other side of it. And just like you were saying, with it being our local race, knowing yeah. more people on the sidelines. I felt like I knew more people who were running it, and it was really nice. I recognized a couple of people that I hadn't seen since I was in uni. I saw a bloke who a mutual friend who played the guitar, works with my friend Julian, who played the guitar at Megan Jules's wedding, played them down the aisle. I saw him and I was like, it's you. And it was so lovely. I love seeing all the people. I really loved being on the other side of it and feeling like I can't imagine not showing up at the Bath Half now, especially not with our jobs.
Yeah.
I mean, it would feel a bit like sitting at home while, you know, the rugby's on, if you're on a big something. Rugby person or something. Yeah, it's like, it feels like an important thing to be part of. And the support at the end was wild. I really struggled to get a place
so good.
Where I could, I really wanted to see you and Lex across the line. And I really struggled to get near, because there was so much support.
Yeah, it was really lovely. And you know, this is the first race that the kids have seen me at.
I was so let's talk about that, because we had a big conversation about that in the pub afterwards, because Lex works for, I'm going to try and keep this all very anonymous, works for a family who didn't want to bring their children to come and watch her, because they were like, that's boring, but I think they were just like, we're having a family day or something.
Yeah.
And we had a little bit of a bitch about it in the pub. I don't want to call Lex out. She wasn't part of this. I think I was the main instigator, that I was like, that feels really sad, because not only is it a great thing to show support for somebody doing, because it's an incredible feat, but also what a family outing, like going to the Bath Half. And I fully appreciate that, like, I don't have children and it must be exhausting having to sort of hold little hands at the same time as watching. I get it. But I think that it is really entertaining. I think that kids would get really, really into it. And I think that it's a really, really good experience for them. It's so important to see people doing it and to go, oh, when I grow up, I really want to do that. That looks really fun. I want a bit of that kind of thing.
Yeah. Because I you know, both my parents ran when I was little. And so I did witness them running. And yeah, absolutely. It does motivate you to want to do something, because otherwise I wouldn't have done what I'd done. So it was really nice that they were there. But I can see the other point of view, because the reason why they've not seen me up until now is because either I've been far away, or it is actually occasionally really, really boring. You don't want to be there for like 3 hours.
No.
And there's not a lot for the kids to do in the race village, which I know is something that they're hoping to switch up for next year.
Do you know what they should do?
Yeah.
Have you seen the Space Pirates around?
Super Pirates.
Super Pirates. That's who they need to get. They're these like local children's entertainers. They're always about on like a bank holiday at the pub or something. That they sort
of, they're bloody brilliant.
They're so good. Yeah. They seem to just station themselves at children's birthday parties or places where grown-ups will want to go and bring their children but not really have to look after their children. The Super Pirates are on the case. And I think they would do a fab job in the Runners Village.
It would be so fun, wouldn't it? So it's kind of, they just need to, because all they had was like a couple of food stands, and we went to the pub and had a kind of sad little Coke, and then we just left because we were just like, I can't be bothered. Let's just go. And the kids were really hungry, even though I'd said to Dave, feed them before they come. Hadn't. So then we went to the race village to get some really, really bad chips and a cold bacon sandwich.
Oh my God.
It was just the worst. It was so
That's food not was ideal. Not.
Food was not great, you know, and it's kind of, I went to there was a coffee stand where I was like, oh, can I have an Americano? And it's just given to me. So there was no making of it. It was already done. And it's like, this is going to be brown water, isn't it? Very unpleasant.
Was it brown water?
It was brown water. But anyway, moving on. It was lovely to have bought them, and they were really pleased to see me. And
I'm so glad.
And I think it's probably the first time that Dave's seen me do it as well. Actually.
I was going to say, I'm really, really happy for you about that, because I think that's one of the big pulls, isn't it? Is having the support. That was why we organised to go to the pub with Lex this year, because last year she felt a little bit like, at the end, that same feeling that you've experienced with that sort of post-race flop. That you have all these high expectations, but when I finish, it's going to be the most amazing feeling I've ever felt. And then you're like, and so that was a really good move to organize to go to the pub. And she'd had some friends come up
like from different parts of the world and stuff to come and watch her and things. So it was really, really lovely. But I'm really glad that you had Dave and the kids and that you went to the pub together.
It was really nice. Yeah.
Made a bit of a fuss of you and...
Well, I wouldn't go that far. Oh. But it was, you know, it was it was nice to be with them. And I think it was also like we couldn't stay in the pub for too long because Ted was complaining too much. So it was like, right, okay, let's go, let's get some food. And then we walked home, but the walk home, we inadvertently went a long way home, mm-hmm. like up past yours basically. And
oh yeah.
And right and left. Anyway,
steep.
Really long
Bloody
way
steep.
Up. Steep. But it means that today I can barely feel the half in my legs. Because I had all that walk.
Yeah.
So that was really good. And then I had magnesium salts in the bath. And
oh, lush.
It was lush. So, but anyway.
Stuff.
Your training.
Oh, God,
how's it going?
All that bloody stuff. Fine.
Yeah.
Fine.
full stop. Moving on.
I did have a relatively eventful run on Friday that I was a little bit concerned may have given me trench foot. I was running and I was like, what constitutes trench foot? Because you know it absolutely pissed it down on Friday for like
a couple
of hours.
Yes, it did.
We had our classic kitchen leakage going on. Had to get the buckets out. God, I gotta tell you all about that as well. There's so much to talk about on this episode. I forced myself to go. I didn't have time to go this weekend. And I was like, if I don't go Friday lunchtime, then it just won't happen. So I was like, fuck it, I'm just going to have to do it. And it's going to be really horrible in this rain, but I'm just going to get it done. It was really, really brutal. Absolutely horrible. I really, really didn't enjoy the weather. However, the run itself did feel quite cathartic. I set that up as if the run was going to be crap. Spoiler alert, the run was actually quite nice. The weather was the thing that was like, I don't think I've ever run in weather like that. I had a cap, thank fuck. I thought to put a cap on. So my glasses weren't, I didn't need my window special wing, what are they called? Windscreen wiper glasses on. But I didn't have the correct footwear at all. I didn't want to, like we've talked before about like the weaving in and out of puddles. I tried to do that a little bit, but. I just ended up being like, I'm going to expend so much energy doing this when I could just plod straight ahead. So I just went for it and my feet were soaked. And every time they would start to dry off, I'd hit a new bit of canal path or whatever that was just like pure swamp. And so it was pretty brutal in terms of that. But I ran, it was my fastest long run so far. And it was my fastest 10K time I've ever done.
No way.
So I think even though it felt really savage and I was really, really worried that I was giving myself trench foot, I don't know whether it spurred me on a little bit. We've talked before about rain and whether it sort of does something a little bit with the air that makes air easier to breathe.
I definitely think it does.
I think it does. And the big thing that I've been doing, the big difference to my running that I've been finding, I've been trying to work out why I've been enjoying it and why it's not felt very painful at the moment. I think the main big things are, like I said, about the sleep. I've been having just a little bit more sleep at the moment. And obviously not drinking any booze in the week and stuff that has probably helped. And then I've been taking hydration with me, which I think... has definitely helped.
Nice.
And it's also just a nice little crutch, isn't it? Isn't it nice to just be able to suck on the little toot of your weird little thing every sort of...
And do you just have water or do you put anything in it?
I just have water. I was going to put... it was like a raw Velo, like hydration mix thing, electrolytes thing. But I will confess, I was sent it last year and I hadn't touched it. And so I was like, oh, it's time to crack that out. And it had, even though it wasn't past its sell by date, it was all clumped together in one slightly damp package when it was supposed to be dust. So I wasn't quite brave enough and it smelled slightly of mold. So I decided not to go with that. And who knows, maybe I'll be able to find something else in the back of the cupboard. But
in the meantime, I think I probably need to order something. Like, you love precision hydration, don't you? Like, maybe I just need to do that.
Love it. I think what's nice about it is that you don't have to put loads in. You don't have to put the whole lot in. You could always just have a bit.
Yeah.
So anything's helpful. Or you could just make your own.
Yeah.
Like, you could just have some squash and put a bit of salt in it.
I could. Oh, I love that. So, I love that. It's like homemade salted caramel or something. A bit of squash.
Really nice. But have a Google, because I think there's loads of recipes online that you can put, and they're all pretty simple. That's so have good, a little Google.
That would probably be more helpful anyway, because lots of them are like to dilute in 500ml or a litre or something. Mm. And I've only got a little sack, whatever you call them. A little bladder.
What, a soft bottle?
Yeah, a soft bottle.
A soft flask.
Yeah, I've got a soft flask that my biggest one is 300ml. So I don't have I don't have a great big thing that I can fill it
with. So do you run with more than one or just one?
I run with just one. And so far, I mean, I've only done up to 7 miles. So obviously maybe it'll be different as things start to get longer. I've barely managed to drink more than half of it. Like, I think I drank about half of it on the... Yeah, I'm a bit of a weird camel, I think. When I start running, any wee that I need to do gets sucked back up inside. Any desire for thirst or hunger, wiped away.
Yeah.
Like, I just sort of turn into a little bit of a, I don't know. Yeah.
Just focusing on the run. Yeah. I mean,
so I find it quite difficult. I like it as, like I was saying, as maybe a bit of a distraction or a comfort thing.
Oh, it's great.
So often I'll be like, and then that'll be an activity. But I don't think I've really desperately needed the water so far. It's been good, I think, for me.
Definitely because of weather. If it's raining, then you just drink less.
Exactly. It's probably going to start to get hotter, and then I think it will be even more beneficial.
Yeah. Yesterday, I got through a litre in the run.
Did you? Blimey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's kind of, and that was just taking little sips. But yeah, I absolutely do use it as a crutch. I now, you know what I'm like. I find it really tricky to give up my hydration pack on a 10K.
Yeah.
Let alone because I'm used to having
little tube ones.
Mm-hmm.
You have?
Yeah.
I'd like a cheap one.
I've got lots of different kinds, actually. But the one that I run in the most, for up to half marathon, I've got one where it's two soft flasks, so not dissimilar to what you've got.
Yeah.
But they've got long, it's a Salomon one, and they've both got long tubes because of the positioning of the flask. Because it's a female fit hydration vest, which means that instead of having bottles going over the top of your boobs, which would happen if you've got like a bloke's one, they sit to the side.
Yeah.
These kind of like little pillows next to your dirty pillows. And then you have the tubes that come up from them are very, very long.
Okay.
So I sort of poke them into like little pockets at the top of the running vest. So they're really useful because you don't have to bend down too far. You just have to.
Yeah, see, I have to bend down, which is the other thing, is that like it does expend a bit of energy. So I think that's why I didn't do loads of it, because I was like, oh, it's a bit of a pain actually having to be like into. But, that's really interesting, because I have actually been having a little bit of beef with my hydration pack. I feel like I shouldn't say it on the pod, because I do like the brand generally. Like, I've had other stuff from them, but so maybe I can say it because I'm giving a balanced review. But it's a Harrier one, and I think it's designed for trail running. So I think that's also partly the problem, is I think maybe I need a slightly different thing. It's got a lot of pockets, and I think it's a little bit heavy duty, whereas I just need a sort of lightweight thing. But I think it might be, and I'm really sorry if they're listening and they did send a woman's one, in which case, slag me off and I will correct myself. But I think that it might be a unisex thing, which means men's. And so it's a really odd fit around me. Like, I can't tighten it anymore, and it still flaps around quite a lot around the waist and stuff. So I've had to really load myself up with Body Glide, because I get nervous that it's going to chafe me, because it's not like flush with me sort of thing.
Yeah, it should definitely be flush with you.
Yeah, it shouldn't move around while you're running.
Usually race packs come in different sizes, and maybe you've been sent the wrong size.
Maybe I got one that was too big. I do tend to say I'm a large for everything, because it's always a bit demoralizing when something arrives and it's too small. But I think it is too big, because it's just like, it's just not the right fit, and I've tied it up as tightly as I can. I can't adjust it anymore, and it just still flaps around.
And also that means obviously that then when the flask is in there, then that's like blip, 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 blip.
Along,
which is really annoying.
It shouldn't be done. It is. I find race packs. I've got about three or four that I use, and they're all good in different ways. None of them is perfect, but I move like, and it does depend on the length of the race. If I'm training for a marathon, as soon as I go above 13 miles, I stop using the Salomon one, and I use one. I think it is a Harrier.
Yeah, they're really good. So this is why I'm conscious not to slack off.
Either a Harrier. I think I use Harrier. If I want to put loads of stuff in the back, yeah, you're right. It's much better for sort of trail stuff. So if I need to put more extra clothes and stuff, but I've got one from Rab, which is really good, but in that one, I can take 2 liters.
Okay.
Rather than a liter. And I have it at the back in a camelback thing. And then with a tube that comes round like this, like, you know,
yeah,
like
I really just want one with a tube. I really want a tube.
You just want a tube, don't you?
So maybe I'll do a little bit of research and get myself a tube one, because that's really helped. And I do think that's leveled up my running a bit. And absolutely pathetic, but Cap is changing the game for me. It was so nice to run in the wet and not have rain all over my face, even though I was still soaking. It was a bit more bearable because it wasn't all over my face. And when it's been a little bit sunnier as well, just like keeping the heat off my face has been nice.
Yeah.
But that's struggling with where to put my phone at the moment, because if I put it in the vest, because it's too big, it flaps around loads and it's really annoying. But loads of my leggings that I have are not great for pockets. The only pocket that they might have is a thigh pocket, but I really feel that I am not the right shape for thigh pocket running. I can just about get away with it, but it's not ideal for me. It just means that the leggings drag down more on one side than the other, and it gets a bit of a pain.
I just feel like I need to be with you when you're getting ready for a run so that I can see what you're doing, because I have to have my phone on my thigh pocket.
Really?
I certainly couldn't wear it in a race vest because it will move around.
Yeah.
So it has to go in a thigh pocket.
My best place for it, though, I can't really do it at the moment because I don't have a watch at the Mo, so I have to use Strava to test my distance, and I can't be asked to keep getting it out. But my best place for it is the zip back pocket. Then it doesn't bother me and I don't even notice it. Thigh, I do.
But how come that doesn't drag the leggings down? The thigh does.
I don't know.
Weird.
It's really odd. Something to do with my body shape, something to do with, but something
it's
about it.
It's definitely going to be your fault. Yeah.
It could be the leggings, because I have been wearing the same style of legging, but two different ones.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a lot to run in at the moment. So maybe it's that.
Maybe.
I don't know what it is, but it's been fine. It's not been bad. Mm. Like, you always, I don't know about you, but I have to give it a mile for all of my clothing to adjust to where it is going to sit for the rest of the run.
Absolutely. And because my first mile is downhill, it all shunts down.
Yeah.
It's all like, right, okay.
And you then, might hoik a couple of times, and then it comes a point where you're like, okay, I accept my fate. This is relatively comfortable position for everything to sit for the rest of the run now.
Yeah, exactly. It's really weird. When you're running a race as well, I find myself peering at other people and what they're wearing, and just wondering why what they're wearing would not work on my body.
Mm-hmm.
Like people with waist belts that just stay there.
Oh yeah, mine. Saying, don't
how's
do that?
How's that not shifting up and down your torso? Yeah. Like it always does with me.
Me too. It hoiks itself up to right beneath my boobs and stuff. It's really annoying.
Yeah. It's really weird.
Also, I mean, there were some really nice outfits at the Bath Half. I can't believe how many gorgeous girls I saw with like little shorts and like. Did see one girl in just those sort of athletic shorts, like slightly floppy ones. And a sports bra, and I was like, I wish because it's warm, so I wish that I could do that.
I saw lots of lovely peachy bums running past me. I was like, oh god,
it just would never ever work for me ever. It's not happening.
And at least I live quite happily in the thing. It's not like I feel like I'm like being sad for a former self where I would have been able to wear peachy shorts. I've never been able to wear peachy shorts, even if they existed in 1975. I've never had a peachy bum. So
That's just my body. So you had like a year of peachy bums. You enjoy it,
and then it was done.
Oh, did you actually had a peachy bum
when I was 18?
You've got a peachy bum now.
Well, I've got a large ass now. I wouldn't say peachy. It's a bit lardy. Shapely.
No, it's not lardy. It's shapely.
I had a good phase when I was about 8, but honestly, it's not my natural body shape. It's because I wasn't really eating very much, and I wasn't doing any exercise or anything. I was doing less exercise than I'd ever done in my life. I wasn't really eating anything, and that was one year where I had a objectively nice bod where I felt comfortable wearing shorts and things, but yeah, it's not my natural rest. It's not my resting body. It didn't take long for it to bounce back. I'm very conscious of the fact that we don't have minus minutes of this episode.
We do.
But there's something that we need to talk about.
There is. Mm-hmm. Yes, there is. Absolutely. Yes, we need to talk about the fact that we are running an exclusive competition, which is going to be available for Pod Squad listeners to take advantage of. First and foremost, so yes. This is for Pod Squadders, and it's a race, it's a competition to enter a race, and it's really, really exciting because this is a competition with Threshold, and if anyone knows Threshold, you'll know them for like Race to the Stones, Race to the King, those big, long ultras that are incredible. But this competition is for a different event. It's for Endure 24, mm-hmm. which makes it sound a bit grim, but it really, really isn't. It's really, really fun.
It sounds scarier than it is.
It's just having that word endure.
Yeah, I was going to say the whole point of this event is basically mm-hmm. to give you the sense of stuff, that some of those incredible endurance races like Race to the Stones, but in a team environment that is meant to be for all abilities and runners of all different sorts, which I think is a really lovely thing, because I'm someone who has a bit of a bug about that stuff. Like, I'd love to be able to do, like, I don't know, some of those amazing events like, yeah, along the Jurassic Coast or something, but I get really frightened by the idea of the like level of competition there, and what if it took me 14 days and it took everybody else 14 hours. But the point of this is that if you have ever felt that you would like to try a bit of ultra running, try a bit of trail running in a cool environment and doing it in a sort of race format, but you would like to do it within a team where you are not solely responsible for your performance, you're contributing to a team effort, then this is definitely the event for you. And you can also choose how much you want to do, which is the joy of it, I think.
I know. That's the lovely thing, because this is something that I wanted to do. I really loved the idea of doing like a kind of like a backyard ultra. So, you know, it's a way of doing an ultra, but without the challenges of like you say, the worries about the sort of time limits and things.
Yeah.
But also worrying about navigation. Don't have to worry about navigation. So the loop, I think it's 8K.
I think that's 8K. Right. 8 or 10.
So the places that we've got 8K. 12 spaces. 8K. 12 spaces for a team, and it's at the Endure 24, and it's in Reading, which is on the 8th to the 9th of June. So the concept is you go there, you bring all your mates, you get a tent, you bring all your food and hydration. So you have a little, I know that there's going to be a really fun base camp there anywhere. So there will be food
and
drink.
It's like a bit of a festival. Basically.
It's a little festival. Mm-hmm. And what's lovely is that, you know, you do this loop of 8K, and every time you finish, you can stop and you can have some food and you can kind of, you know, have a rest, and your friend can go off for a run and do their 8K. You can carry on going if you want to. So it's entirely up to you. You could just keep on going for 24 hours if you want to go completely ballistic.
Yeah,
or you could take it in turns. And so what we're saying is like, so the competition is so cool. It's for up to 12 people to 12 pod squatters to get together and have this fun, super fun weekend of running and camping. Yeah. You get a t-shirt, you get a medal, and there's free parking.
Oh my God.
I know. The joy.
I love that was one of the first perks that you noticed.
I know. It's wonderful. Yeah. Wonderful.
We basically want it to be a bit of a pod squad team representing our gorgeous, lovely listeners, showing what women can do and what runners of all different abilities can do, making sure that these events don't just maintain this like sort of vibe of being like very elite and very intense, because that's really not the case, and that's not what the majority of people who are going to have access to a ultra run are going to be able to do. Like, who's got the time and the resource to be, do it, you know, able to do these feats that are like insanely long? Like, the majority of us, this is how we are going to be able to participate in this stuff. Mm-hmm. And we want to send a bunch of you guys to go and guinea pig it, basically.
Exactly. And I want you to, so we'll have a link in the show notes, and I'm sure if by the time this comes out, you'll be able to Google it you'll be able to search for it on the Women's Running website as well.
Yeah, otherwise I'm in there. Trouble.
Yeah, it's all Holly's job.
I promise that I will do that.
But enter the competition I think we're going to do it. So it's a space for you and a friend. So you go with a buddy. So that's what the competition is for. Mm-hmm. And you'll meet up with other people that have also won the competition for the women's running team. And then when you guys are there, I want you to take loads of pictures, loads of video, so that we can just put it all over our Instagram, put it on our socials, because it's going to be so wonderful to share your experience, because it just looks like so much fun.
It looks amazing. We would love for you to do a bit of a Instagram takeover. We can discuss the terms of this contract with the winners. But yeah, it is basically a chance for the prizes at two places in this amazing race for you and a pal. And yeah, as Esther said, you'll join a crew of people. So it won't just be the two of you. There'll be a women's running gang, a pod squad gang that are all doing it together. And yeah, it just looks awesome. I think it'll be really, really cool.
Yeah. We can potentially have more details as the weeks go on, because this does sound a bit fluffy. But
it does sound a bit fluffy.
That's the competition. It does, isn't it?
Yeah.
It does,
isn't it? What have you got to lose?
I know, but there'll be more details on the website, and there'll be more details in the show notes underneath this. So go and have a look, check out the links there. And please enter, because it would be lovely to have you do this race, and we want to find out more about it. And
I want to see people do it, and it would be lovely to be able to see women's running represented there and the pod squad represented there. I think it'll be a really, really amazing, I'm cautious to say, experiment, because I think actually a lot of the people that are going to be there are going to be there with families and in groups. It is not, like we said, the sort of trail run or ultra run that is necessarily going to be sort of the Jasmine Parises of the world running around. I think lots of people will be there for the festival-y atmosphere and the fun of it all, but we also want a slice of the pie and a little gang to be there on
we
our
do,
behalf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'd be lovely to see.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice. But,
Well, lovely.
Have a look in the show notes. We'll definitely have a page on the website up about this by the time this episode comes out. And you can find out a little bit more. Send it to your friends. See what you think.
Yeah. And then, and the other thing. So next week, we've got so much to talk about, because as per usual, I came onto the podcast and I said to Holly, I don't know what we're going to be talking about today. Mm. And Holly's like, calm yourself down. We've got too much to talk about. And it's true. So there's loads of stuff we've not talked about yet. And one of the things I was going to talk about, and I can't now, but I'll talk about it next week, is the race that I've signed up to in September. So,
Should we have a little bit of a sort of ultra-y, trail-y situation next week? We'll talk about that, because I had a similar chat with Doug about off-road running. I think it's time for a trail special next week.
Yeah, okay, let's do that then.
Okay. I love it.
Fab. Yeah, okay, yeah. Brilliant.
Cool.
That's it, isn't it?
Bye.
Yeah. Bye. Then.
Thank you for listening. Come and join us on Patreon. You can get a ton of extra Pod Squad benefits from just £2 a month, including newsletters, live chats, and you can join our exclusive Discord community for friendly chat and support with like-minded women runners. Go to patreon.com/womensrunning to find out more. This podcast was recorded over Zencastr. The producer and composer was David Newman. Please hit like and subscribe. That way you won't miss the next episode. And do please email us at wrpodcast@anthem.co.uk with any questions or running stories, as we would love to include them in a future podcast. Happy running.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello? Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.